Welcome to the One Question Podcast, brought to you by Wabi Sabi Studios. I'm your host, Michelle Cox, and I love having unlikely conversations on uncomfortable topics. It's a huge passion of mine, so much so that I wrote a few books a while back that challenge people's notion on living a life more unconventionally. This entire podcast stems around one question. If there was one topic you wish society would talk more about, what would it be?
Some people might want the aspect of people will look at me different if I own my house. They might want the recognition. So there's no right or wrong, but it's understanding what your underlying emotion is.
Amanda Thompson is the founder and financial guru behind Endurance Financial. With an impressive two decades of financial advising experience under her belt, Amanda has guided clients from diverse backgrounds and financial aspirations. Whether she's launching her own business, facing a cancer battle, or qualifying three times for the Ironman World Championships, Amanda has never been afraid of a challenge. At Endurance Financial, Amanda leverages her extensive financial advising background and life experiences to educate and mentor in an approachable and relatable manner, helping clients conquer their financial anxieties and take control of their financial destinies, what we all need, I think. Her passion lies in unraveling intricate financial concepts. Amanda's mission is to rekindle personal and business confidence by imparting financial wisdom and the insurance to forge a harmonious relationship with money. Her literary offering, Amanda wrote a book called Financially Fit Women, delves into the many challenges faced by women today. Drawing from her decades of experience and expertise, she empowers readers to seize control of their financial future and shatter societal barriers and rise to financial fitness. I've been looking forward to delving into this conversation. Let's get stuck in. Amanda, it's so lovely to have you here. Welcome to the One Question Podcast.
And what an awesome podcast it is, Michelle.
Thank you. How fun to sit down with you. So if there is one thing, Amanda, you wish society would talk more about, what would it be?
I wish society would break down monetary beliefs to more emotion-based conversations as opposed to what we have been inbuilt to believe in our goals, like buying a house or a car or retiring. They're just words and no one really puts them to emotions. So I'd like money to be attached to emotions more.
Oh, wow. Okay. This is going to be interesting because I always think the opposite. So, okay, tell me more about this then. Why do you feel we should have the money attached to emotion?
Do you know, because I think that we have gone along like so many things in life, learning from generations before. So one thing is we didn't really talk about money back in the day. So if I asked you as a financial planner to write down your goals, you would most probably tell me short-term goals would be to pay off my house or buy a house or I want to start an investment fund. There are all these specific things that people think must be a tick list of their own. And I say, well, what does retirement look like for you? Why do you want to pay off your house? So once you connect something to emotion, you're actually more inclined to follow through with that. So whatever tasks you set to get you there, the habit will be easier to create because you know how it's going to make you feel at the end of it.
Can you give me some examples? So, you know, I'm a client of yours where I'm sitting down and we're working through my financial goals. I want to clear my mortgage in the next, you know, 5 years or something. So how does that then equate from an emotional aspect versus me working my butt off and saving every penny and paying, putting everything on the house?
Absolutely. So my first question back to someone who says that is, well, why? Why do you want to pay off your mortgage? And normally someone will just say, well, isn't that what you're supposed to do? Or, you know, I'll have more cash. Well, what does more cash give you? So you have to go further. In Australia in particular, we are brought up that bricks and mortar is security. And so if we take security as a word, I would add that as safety. No, we'll never get kicked out of our house, no matter what happens. If I own my house, the bank can't come knocking on my door. So if you add that to that feeling, there's a safety aspect of that. Now, some people might want the aspect of people will look at me different if I own my house. They might want the recognition. So there's no right or wrong, but it's understanding what your underlying emotion is. I'll give you another example. You talk about a pool. So often people say, I want to renovate my house, I want to put a pool in. Again, well, why do you want to put a pool in? I did once upon a time, and I knew exactly why I wanted to put a pool in, because I wanted my kids to bring all their friends to my house and I wanted to know exactly where they were. I wanted my kids to want to come home and be around their family. And so there wasn't this whole, I'm going to spend X amount of money on a pool that I'll never get back when I sell my house. There was that real emotion attached to wanting to spend that money.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
If you asked me, I'm very specific on what my goal is. And my goal is I would like to travel overseas every year for a triathlon and take my children. And so there's people there going, why would you want to travel overseas to do a race in the first place? Just go overseas. But you actually get to understand a lot about me in one, I don't want to go overseas and leave my kids behind. So there's that need to be a mum continuously. Two, I actually didn't grow up with a lot of money. So my deep down is that I probably need a reason to travel. And therefore, if I qualify for a race overseas, then there's my reason behind it. And so you've got to look down at your feelings. And when you realize why that goal is like it is, I'm more committed to actually saving or making conscious decisions on what I choose to spend my money on or not. So therefore, I love red wine. On the converse, I love red wine as much as I love training, but maybe I won't buy that $60 bottle of wine and have one glass and put the rest of the money towards my triathlon fund or whatever it is. And so I think that it actually encourages mindful spending. So the easiest way is to work with what you already have, and we set our goals, but then take it one step further and go, I want that because I want to feel this way, and then add a monetary value to it. And so then all of a sudden you have this picture of how to get somewhere, because money's just a tool to get these things. But unless we fit it into that end goal, that tool becomes less and less useful, because we will tend to just spend. We won't spend mindfully. You'll notice I don't use the word budget. Again, another thing you can tell about me, I'm not very good with discipline or being told what to do. And so, you know, budget for me is this negative connotation. Someone's going to stop what I'm spending on, as opposed to me having choice on what I choose to spend. And I think that those narratives need to be changed. So, it's, you know, when we're talking about putting money into emotion, why should we, when we're all adults, be getting told we have to budget and we have to do this? Why can't you just say, well, what do you choose?
So I'd like to pick up on a point you talked then about money being a tool, Amanda. Like, I think that's a really valid way to look at money. I mean, a lot of people don't look at it that way, but talk to me about the concept of how you, you know, manage your clients and get people to understand the concept of that.
So when I'm talking to clients, I actually give them the pre-work and say, tell me your short-term, medium and long-term goals, like anyone would. And then what I do is I actually send them the second time after we meet a money goals workbook that sits there and says, no, what feelings are you chasing, or what is it in life that you want? And then I get people to prioritize them. You know, one client of mine said, Amanda, you know, I'd just like to go on a date night every fortnight with my husband. So she started her own business. She has two children and no family, and one of her children has special needs. So as much as that sounds like a simple thing for most people, that act of getting on a date night with her husband every second week is huge. It's huge financially as well, because they need to pay for a special needs babysitter. So when she said that was the most important thing, because she felt as if her relationship was not working, and that was the most important thing to her at that particular time. If you had have asked what was important to me 6 months ago, it would be completely different right now, because I've had some major things go on in my life. And one of those things was I thought I was in a loving, stable, but more importantly, safe relationship.
And now I don't know what the word safe is. So my goals are completely different and I need to go and work through some things that I never thought of before. So that priority for me has gone up higher, is to actually say I need some security and safety for my kids, and therefore where I choose to spend my money has changed.
Interesting point, and I was going to pull on that thread around the safety element, because I've noticed as my husband's 20 years older than me and as we're going through different life stages, you know, we've been together for 23 years, you know, his relationship with money and his money story and his money type is very different to mine. So we've been able to navigate that okay for many years, but I think it's becoming more of a problem, so, or a challenge, let's put it that way.
And again, if we come back down to goals, yeah, so if you strip money away from things to start with and bring emotion in. So if you don't mind me using your example, and I'm not a psychologist in any way, shape or form, it is purely just from experience, is that often safety and security come with fear. So if your husband's 20 plus years older than you, he's obviously getting closer to that period of time where he may retire or work may decrease. And so we have that equation of, I've got money coming in now, but I won't, and how am I going to retire, and I want to be happy, and I want to make Michelle happy. Chances are it's a we. He wants to make you both happy. And so it's attached to a fear. And so one thing we do miss when we're in relationships and money is we forget that it's about a feeling. And so if you can sit there in each other's feelings and accept how each other feel, then you're more likely to join forces to go, okay, well, in this particular instance, I understand how you feel, so therefore I may change some of my spending habits because I'm absolutely committed to making you feel safe or making you feel secure, knowing that we're going down this path together. And so when I was talking about the money goals sheets, I actually tell people to do them separately and then come together and see what individual goals you are. And fingers crossed, you hope you've got some same ones there. And then together you're prioritizing what's important to both of you and then individually. And then as a couple, you're more likely to be on that same path to utilizing money to get where you want.
Yeah, it makes sense. Oh, I think many people attach fear to money. And in my experience, they also operate from a mindset of scarcity.
Fear is always the big one, and confidence. You know, when I was growing up, money, schools, politics and religion, they were all no-go conversations. And you want to talk about money, but not in this how much do you earn, Michelle, or how much profit are you making, or how much are you turning over. It's more along the lines of, gee, isn't it tough at the moment? Isn't it tough being a woman in business at the moment, and I just don't feel confident that I make the right decisions, or I'm scared I'm going to make the wrong decisions? We're so hard on ourselves. So confidence is such a big thing, and I think that confidence comes from storytelling. Is me going on this podcast with you today and just talking about stories. Hopefully one of these stories will resonate with at least one person listening to that, and they might look differently at how they view their future and money.
You're spot on with talking more about money. I have a group of mates that we openly talk about money together because that's the way we learn. And I know a lot of people find that weird, but one of those mates constantly breaks the myth of that great Aussie dream of paying off your house as fast as you can, you know, that we all kind of grew up with, and you have zero mortgage and that's, you know, what we're all aiming for. Her favorite expression is that you can't eat your house, meaning that often people put all their income into paying off their mortgage, but don't have any other investments. And then once you get older and you stop working, you may not have a mortgage anymore and, you know, live in your house completely mortgage free. But often people don't have the money to live on any longer. So they're in essence asset rich, but cash poor. And this is the exact debate that my husband and I are currently having at the moment. He wants to clear the mortgage entirely and I want to make other investments.
And it can get tricky because money, and again, this is my perfect example of money as emotion, because there's obviously a tension there, as you know, you both want to do different things. And so for me, that's where you get down to the nitty-gritty and say, okay, well, let's put these scenarios that you're talking about on paper. Let's have a look at what the cash flow is. Let's look at the asset base at the end of the day. And then not only can you have a conversation about it, but you can make educated decisions together. Because I'm a little bit like you. When it comes to owning our own house, it's not going to give you an income in retirement. All we're doing is leaving a legacy for our kids.
Yeah, which is fine if you're super comfortable and have great long-term assets. But many people I know have not thought that through and are finding themselves in tricky situations where they are having to sell their dream homes to downsize and so they can release some capital and afford to actually live their lives and, you know, not be almost beholden to that. So it's definitely something that people need to think about.
And so I think it's really important that we make educated decisions. So the first thing is you actually map out what those scenarios that you both feel are going to be the right one. But the other point that I want to make on this is that language that is therefore attached to emotion, so you thinking that it's silly to do something and your husband wanting to do something else, who says that his feelings are silly? Because remember, if we actually change the way we think about things and know that he's being driven by emotions and feelings, he's saying that this is really important to me because it's affecting how I feel about things.
Yeah, and he's a worrier, so he does worry about money a lot. And so I think that was kind of where I have got to. It reconciled, even though I don't feel it's the best decision for us, if it gives him peace of mind and, you know, makes him sleep better and he doesn't stress about that we've got this mortgage and whatever, then maybe that's worth it, you know, for quality of life. That's kind of where I've got to. But he's a lot more conservative from an investment point of view than I am. And I said, well, if we sell the other place, clear our mortgage, then we have a little bit of cash, then I'm going to invest that pretty heavily on other stuff. That maybe that's the compromise.
It is. And I think that it's easy as why don't we? And I think when we're making decisions as couples around money, and not just couples, any relationship, whether it's business partners or our children or our parents or our siblings, remember there's a we attached to it. So, you know, if we are going to invest in this, should we get a better picture so we can both look at it? Again, it's this direction that money historically has led us with these blinkers on, and it's our money and our decisions. Well, no, you know, we're making lifelong decisions for not only ourselves, but probably those closest.
Yeah, but I mean, if there are those listening that it is themselves, then obviously that's different as well. I've got lots of listeners that are, you know, living independently and it's their money, which is fabulous. And so I want to dig into that as my last kind of question here around the emotion attached to money. Because obviously, like some people, whether they, you know, get emotional and there's things that happen in their life and they, you know, take to eating, that's their, you know, emotional crutch. Other people, it's spending. So if you're trying to save, and so I think that's what's the interesting other side to, you know, putting an emotional slant around finances. And I think your point's really valid. It's fantastic. How do you tackle that when people are emotional and then all they want to do is shop online?
And which is so many of us, isn't it? Because let's face it, if I want to buy a new dress, it's going to make me feel better for that very point in time if I am emotional. I think, again, this is where I will come back to what are your goals and what are your true goals and how you want to feel. And so if you can look at your history and say, every time I go online and shop, I feel good for 24 hours. And then for the week later, I'm feeling so guilty that I made that decision. If you're one of those people, then you need to align what you're doing to your goals or how you want to feel. And if it is to shop every week, then put it in your spending plan and say, I am actually giving myself this amount to spend every week because I know who I am. And I think that is, I know who I am and I know why I do what I do. The best tip I can have for online shopping is do this 24-hour shopping cart. So put it in the shopping cart, go to bed, wake up the next morning, and if you still really want those items in your shopping cart, buy them. Because if I go to the shops and you're looking for something, you might go to three or four different shops. The first shop you come to, you'd be like, this is it. This is the dress that I want. But I might just go and have a look at what else is around. And you may end up back at that first shop again. Yeah. But chances are you probably found something else and then you've got to decide between two. Go to sleep on it. Use the sundown rule or whatever it is and wake up the next morning, and if it is you really, really want it. Same thing when you're buying things for your kids. They want that awesome brand new pair of Nike runners right now. Let them wait, okay? If you're not weak, you really still want it, let's work out a plan how to get it. So we are in an instant society, aren't we?
Yeah, and that gratification, isn't it? That adrenaline hit that you're getting from it as well, I think.
So be mindful. Yeah, we use that word a lot, but we don't use it when it comes to money, really. So mindful spending is a really good concept.
Love it. Amanda, you've given so many food for thought today in a financial sense, but I love this concept around emotion attached to your goals and, you know, understanding the why. Why do you want the house? Why do you want to pay off the house? Why do you want the pool? Why do you want the shoes? So, you know, does it make you feel better, look better, have a better life? Like, it's really good to kind of get into the depths of that. So it's been fabulous to get to know you today. Thanks very much for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Well, there you have it. Wasn't that an incredible conversation? I hope you enjoyed it as much as I've enjoyed bringing it to you. If you did like it, can I ask a small favour? Please rate and review on your listening platform for me. I know everyone asks this, but it seriously makes a difference to help get these conversations out in the world and makes all the hard work and effort I put into this for you all the more worthwhile. And until next time, if you have one question you'd like to ask me, hit me up on my socials or jump on my website, michellejcox.com.